You're listening to The Andy Fay Show, centrally located in the Belt on the TAFS Radio Network.
We are back on The Andy Fay Show, and today is Monday, February 25th, 2008, and we're talking surveillance. So, the Bush administration makes the argument that you're with the terrorists if you don't give us what we want. So, the original bill passed by the House last year did not give telecom immunity, but it passed a variation of the Protect America Act that gave the Bush administration additional powers in surveillance, even though the FISA law is more than enough. Unless you want to troll for information and collect information on millions of Americans at once, they got the power they need. The Senate comes back in January and February and caves, even though there were certain people who were not willing to cave and were not willing to give telecom immunity. The Senate eventually gave telecom immunity, so Bush then pressures the House of Representatives to come up with a bill he can sign before it expired a week ago on Saturday. Well, it turns out the House of Representatives did not go along. They offered a 15-day extension that would allow more time for discussion, and the Republicans and the Bush administration said, no, we refuse to allow you to pass a bill with an extension. We will vote against it. But then they turn around and say, you're harming the country if you don't give us this law today. Well, think about it, folks. What would you say to that argument if somebody put that to you? You can't have it both ways. If, in fact, you must have this law or we're in mortal danger, why would you refuse to take a 15-day extension if it would help you prevent the law from expiring? Because they wanted to use it for political pressure. So we've been now 9 days without the Protect America Act in force. Now, let's back up and point out that, first of all, the FISA law gives the Bush administration everything it needs. This was icing on the cake. And although the law itself has expired, any cases started under the Protect America Act over the last 6 months continue for up to a year, and they can add other situations to it, phone numbers, websites, email addresses, whatever. If they think there's a terrorist trying to talk to somebody else through switches that go through the U.S., they can add those numbers and email IDs and still continue to add new surveillance capabilities. So it's not like the sky is falling. And yet Bush and others basically went out and in advance trying to pressure the House of Representatives to pass this bill and give Bush everything he wanted, they said, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Well, guess what? The sky has not fallen. We're 9 days without it, and we haven't been attacked. This was more of the politics of fear, which Bush and Cheney are very good at. And in fact, right afterwards, the Bush administration came out and said, oh, there's going to be dire consequences, even though all the analysis, if you pay attention to what the bills actually say, all the analysis said, No, nothing's, this is not a big change, right? The argument is over this retroactive immunity. Now, before I go any further, let me point out why the Bush administration wants it. They asked telephone companies and internet providers to do something illegal over the last 5-6 years. And they told the companies, trust us, we say it's okay, therefore it's okay, do it. Only one company, Quest, refused to go along. The others said, okay, if you say break the law, we'll break the law. Meanwhile, the Bush administration is saying, oh, the surveillance stuff? Well, all we can tell you about it is that it's working. It's helping us prevent terrorist attacks. And that's all you need to know. We can't release any information. It's national security. But trust us that this law has been useful. I'm sorry, that's not how it works in America. You know, the Bush administration has been making the claim for years that they know what's best for security. And when you say, well, explain to me a little of the details. How do we know this law you put in place for 6 months or for a year or whatever actually has yielded results? And they said, well, it has. We've uncovered terrorism or the torture we used. Yes, we got useful information from these bad guys. Well, what was that? We can't tell you that. Can't tell you how effective it was. That would be compromising national security. You need to trust us. Hey, I'm sorry. These guys used up their trust a long time ago. I've been shocked at how gullible the Congress has been, a majority of the American people has been on this. Yes, fear is a great motivator, but 9/11 is now 6 years behind us, going on 7. That sucker punch that we were dealt should no longer be dictating our every move. We need to keep it in mind. We need to react to it. We need to update our processes. But it's foolish to allow craven politicians to use it and to manipulate us with fear because of what might happen. The history of the U.S. is full of quotes from statesmen who point out that you give up a lot more when you compromise your liberty than the risks you take from some supposed enemy who's going to do something unspecified that the fearmonger made you afraid of. So hopefully the country's had it with these guys. But basically, given that, the telecom immunity, the reason why it's important not to give retroactive immunity, there's a couple of practical issues. The first is the Bush administration hasn't been willing to tell Congress what it is they need the immunity for. They basically say, give us immunity. Congress said, show us the data that shows what you're doing and that it's helpful so that we know what we're voting on. And they said, sorry, we can't do that. We just need you to vote on this. And if you don't, we'll go over your heads to the people and make them scared, make you scared of them. So they gave the Senate a certain amount of the information. They didn't give it to the House till a couple of weeks ago. And the House said, nothing doing. The second thing is, people that would like to get to the bottom of what this administration has done, hold them to account, keep them from overrunning the system of checks and balances with executive power. Those folks, mostly Democrats, but some Republicans and independents as well, point out that if you give the telecom companies immunity, we will never find out what happened. The federal government is saying, we can't tell you, it's a secret, which is Bush and Cheney have done a lot of in the last 7 years. The only chance to uncover what really happened would be in these civil lawsuits. Now, eventually, should the telecom companies be held responsible? I think in general, the government ought to be held responsible. But this is one of the only pieces of leverage the Congress has to get the executive branch to explain themselves. And so far, they're saying, we don't have to explain ourselves, you need to trust us. Well, sorry, the trust is long gone, like the thrill. So, bringing it up to date here, the spy law, the Protect America Act, has expired for 9 days. And guess what? The sky has not fallen. Now, when this first happened, the very next week, last week, the Bush administration came out and said that we had lost information. We had lost intelligence information because House Democrats allowed the surveillance law to expire and that some telecom companies were refusing to cooperate in terrorist-related wiretapping orders. But a few hours later, they had to reverse themselves and say, no, the last company who hadn't agreed to give us what we needed has now given us what we needed. So we were wrong when we claimed that there was lost information. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because finally, Congress has got a little bit of a spine and is standing up to the fear-mongering that Bush and Cheney are giving us. This morning's Washington Post, Monday, February 25th, 2008, has a op-ed piece by the four chairs of the Intelligence and Judiciary Committees that are at stake here. Jay Rockefeller is chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, Pat Leahy, chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and then Sylvester Reyes and John Conyers are chairman of the parallel committees on the House side. And the four of them wrote an editorial that basically says that the president is using this as a wedge issue and that we all want to work out an agreement with the White House and with the Congress that protects America but doesn't give away the store in terms of individual rights and on surveillance. And the bottom line for these guys is the same bottom line I have had since this whole mess started with surveillance and the FISA courts. The FISA courts established an important principle: oversight by a branch of government beyond your branch of government. The executive branch cannot police itself. That never works. The judiciary, the Congress, cannot police itself. That's what checks and balances are about. But what's happened is that the executives made the claim they can police themselves. You know, this goes back to the Nixon administration. The FISA law was passed in 1978 after the abuses of the Nixon administration, when Nixon and his FBI decided who could be wiretapped for what purposes. And when it became clear what Nixon was doing, Congress said, hold on here. This is not allowable. You have to have checks and balances. So Congress set up the FISA court so that judges, part of the judicial branch, would be the arbiters of whether or not the executive branch was doing the right thing. Now, the practical effect is that the judges on the FISA court have given every executive branch their way 99.9% of the time. They very rarely stand in the way of an investigation. The important principle here is open air policy, the sunshine law, the idea that somebody outside of the small circle of people in the executive branch, Bush and his lawyers and the people who are overseeing them, know about this. What Bush has said since this began is, we've had checks and balances in place every step of the way. There have been 12 checks on this. 12 different people, groups of people have looked at this. Yeah, but they all work for you, buddy. That's not how it works in the United States. So we'll see how this goes when the House comes back. But hopefully some of the pressure is gone here, this idea that the sky will be falling, and we'll get a more reasonable accounting of what all this means. Anyway, last little bit, as long as we're talking about intrigue here and abuse of power, new piece of news end of last week. It turns out that the British claimed they had nothing to do with extraordinary rendition, right? They were with us on most things, but in Europe, the idea of going to European soil, let's say Italy, where it happened, among other places, kidnapping people off the streets, even if you think they're bad guys, bundling them up, not telling the local government, the Italian authorities, what you're doing, blindfolding them, putting them on a plane, taking them somewhere, and then having them disappear until you decide you want them to resurface, that's not considered good form. So although the United States engaged in extraordinary rendition, it's called, basically kidnapping and disappearing, Britain claimed they had no part in that. Well, it came out over the weekend that, in fact, we refueled jets on British soil a couple of times. These are British colonies or former colonies that Britain still has sway with or control of. So that's going to heat up in Britain. But basically, we're back to this whole issue. Because, you know, extraordinary rendition, it falls in the same category as these other things. Post 9/11, we're scared to death. And so we do things that, frankly, don't fit with our values. Now, that's part of what this election is about, because although McCain is anti-torture, one of the interesting things is that conservatives didn't want him in office because he's not a true conservative. And one of the issues that he's not conservative enough on is he's soft on torture. You have to have somebody that's willing to torture if you're going to win the hearts and minds of conservatives. Where their Christianity disappeared to, I'm not sure. But it disappeared somewhere. Anyway, when we come back, the Andy Finn Show will talk about the current political situation and what's going on the Republican side with John McCain and this latest slap and the reaction to it primarily, and then how the whole race is shaping up.